Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mehler here, and a new guest for you today on the show. Ben Miller is the Department of Public Instruction's Assistant Director of Resources for Libraries and Lifelong Learning. And we're going to be talking with him about libraries. The libraries, the public libraries, are closed right now. There are still ways you can use their services, whether you have a library card or not. You can read and listen to books online. You can read magazines and newspapers and a whole lot more. We'll learn more about those services in a bit, but we want to hear from you as well. Have you used any of the library's virtual resources? Has the library in your community continued to help people out? Maybe, have you enjoyed reading one of your library books while you're home to shelter in place? I hope you'll join in. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. And Ben Miller, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Are all public libraries closed now across the state, aren't they?
Yep, yeah, that's correct. With the Safer at Home order, public libraries are all closed now.
And that was Governor Evers' decision.
Yes. Yeah. Before that had happened, most libraries were trending that way anyway. There was that week when everyone was starting to close, and it was trending in that direction, where libraries were sort of, there was a cascading as their library boards met, because that was a local decision up until the point of the governor's decision. But that was the way it was going. I think there were less than 100 open at the time that the order was issued. So
yeah, and here we've got National Library Week this month. I think that's set for April 19th through the 25th. Can you tell us a little about what that's all about?
Yeah, so National Library Week is a week sort of celebrated every year to celebrate what public libraries are doing. And just another thing to note, that April is actually school libraries month. So in the school library world, they celebrate libraries for an entire month. Libraries publicly, we celebrate the 1 week, but I think we all celebrate public libraries every year. At least I know I do. One thing that I think was really cool, we had Carolyn Sanford Taylor, who is the state superintendent, issued a sort of guest editorial on our library blog about, you know, the importance of libraries, thinking of National Library Week coming up. And she was just so impressed with libraries, and especially this year in their response to the crisis that we're going through right now. And she just sees libraries, and I think this is how we think of it at the agency in general, is libraries are just so important in providing equitable and inclusive services that level the playing field for everyone in Wisconsin to learn, no matter what age you are. And just seeing what libraries are doing, we're all just so amazed at the how libraries are leveraging technology to support the public, and just how that's going in such short order. I mean, the turnaround was so quick. And, I mean, she, in her blog post, just encouraged everyone to take advantage of the services that are available right now through public and school libraries to enhance learning and recreation and everything while we're all staying at home.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we have a caller online, Gail from Belleville, with a question that certainly relates to this. Gail, hi, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. Well, I use my library card a lot, and the other day I knew that everything was shut down, but there were a couple books I was looking for, and so I tried to put them in my cart and reserve them, but I got an error message saying that my library card had expired or something to that effect, and I used it only a few months ago, and I'm wondering what might have happened that my library card expired. And then the second part is, everything that I put in my cart, once we're back to sort of normal, will all of that be automatically taken care of? So will those books that I reserve be sent to me, or do I need to start the process over again?
That's a good question, Gail. Typically, I'm not sure why your library card would have expired. That would be something I would encourage reaching out to your local library, because each library handles their policies about when library cards expire and why they would expire in a different way. So I'd encourage you to send an email, because, as you know, library staff aren't probably in the office to answer a phone. Usually just whatever the general email is to ask about that specific thing. But in general, your account should be sort of frozen. So anything that you placed on hold, they're not processing those holds right now. So in your cart, those shouldn't go away. Your account should stay there, and you should be able to get those again once service returns back to normal. They'll start turning that back on, and you'll start getting the holds as librarians can pick them off the shelves and send them to you.
All right. Gail, does that help?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Great.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, you know, Ben, there are listeners who may not have library cards, but there are ways that you can get one digitally, isn't there?
Yeah, there are. A lot of libraries are using this time to figure out how to issue virtual cards so that you can access online services, because that's one of the things that libraries right now. So for a long time, libraries have been working towards this, which really works in our advantage, to try to figure out how to how do we provide services when people maybe don't come in the library, because we know that we live in a different society than we used to live in, and people want things online. They want them, you know, at 3 in the morning, if they want them at 3 in the morning, because that's when they woke up and they're ready to read a book. So libraries have been moving this direction for a long time, and now that we're there, it's hard to get library cards to people when they can't physically come in the building. But most libraries, I know in the South Central Library System, which is the system in Madison here and goes from sort of, it runs along the center of the state, it's a pretty big system, most libraries are providing library cards online. You can go to your local library website of wherever the closest library or closest town to you is and see what that is, or just email them and ask. And I know in northern Wisconsin, the IFLIS library system and the Northern Wisconsin Library Service, which pretty much runs the entire north part of the state there, I know both those systems are offering virtual library cards. So check with your local library. I'm sure there's a way that they can figure out how to get you a library card so that you can start using the services that they provide. I mean, some of the programming things, which I'll talk about, don't require a library card. But if you want, like, a book or an audio book, those things do require a library card to get access to.
Yeah. The Wisconsin Digital Library, there's something that's something that I've heard about. And if you're using it on your smartphone, there's an app for that, isn't there?
There is, yeah. The Libby app is very easy to use, and it's great. I use it all the time.
There you go. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was just going to say the Wisconsin Digital Library, it's really an amazing resource to the public. It's a collective of all the library systems in Wisconsin that fund and sort of form up a little board to manage this ebook delivery system, and it's huge. I mean, we're one of the five biggest in the nation, and there aren't a lot of statewide consortiums like we have that offer audiobooks and ebooks statewide, and so it's a really great resource. It's available to you. You just use your cell phone or your smartphone or a tablet or whatever you want, can get an app on. If you use the Libby app, you can log in with your library card and just read or listen to the books right on your device that you do it on. And I actually just reached out. So I reached out to the project managers last week to sort of ask how this was going, because I was really interested in what the numbers look like. And in March, which is when, you know, we all sort of went down this path, they had 11,000 new users. And to put that in perspective, generally there's 5,000 new users a month, people testing it out and figuring out how to download ebooks and audiobooks. So it more than doubled the new users for obvious reasons. And every day we saw 1,000 more checkouts than we used to see. And that's pretty significant, because the collection that we have, ebooks and audiobooks, downloadable audiobooks, are in such high demand that at any point 90% is checked out. So you can think of ebooks and audiobooks in this collection the same way you think of physical books, that if someone else is using them, you don't have access. There are some cases where there are lots of access, simultaneous access is available for anyone who wants to read can read it. But typically for the bigger books and the big publishers' books, when one person has it, you need to wait till they return it before you can get it. So seeing 1,000 more checkouts shows that people are really digging in and looking for things to read and finding amazing stuff. And there are some indie authors in Wisconsin that have made their titles available for that simultaneous use so people can use them, as many people that want can. And so I think that's what we're seeing is people looking for books to read and finding more and digging a little deeper. And also placing holds. There was a huge increase in holds as well.
Yeah. And you still need to put holds if you can't get access right away. It's like a physical library.
Yep, book. just like a physical library book where you place a hold on it, and then when it becomes available, you get an email, and then you can just log in and download it. One response we saw at DPI is that we heard this, and they reached out to us and said, this demand is just, we can't keep up. And so we actually just issued a grant for $250,000 to add more content to the Wisconsin Public Library Consortium, the digital library. We typically don't, we helped start that collection, but we typically on a normal year don't add money into it for the collection. The systems handle that themselves. But we put that money in so that we could get more simultaneous access titles so people don't have to wait. With that money, we can fill 18,000 holds immediately. So as soon as they can process that, turn it around to buy it, there will be, 18,000 more books available for people.
Wow.
And then 2,000 new titles that are just, just to give them more titles to use. So we're really hoping that has a good impact on people being able to use books in the state. And systems have their own accounts, and their member libraries are stepping up and also contributing more money. So there's a significant investment being made in making sure that folks in Wisconsin have books to read and listen to.
That's absolutely amazing. Well, Eric in La Crosse, I believe, has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Eric. Oh, we lost Eric. Oh, sorry. We'll give you the number to call in. It's 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. A listener wanted to pass along a question from a friend who's been hospitalized. For people who have books checked out and may not be able to return them during this time, are late fees continuing to add up?
No, they shouldn't be. Every library that I've heard of, they've sort of frozen due dates and overdue fines for this time. And generally that's because at the beginning of this, the library community didn't necessarily know how to handle materials that were coming in from the public. So, the encouragement is not to return those books. Some libraries have even closed their book return slots so that those don't come in, just so we don't have to handle them and figure out what to do with them. So just consider it an extended due date, and you can finish that book that maybe you didn't read, or read a favorite again if you have it in your house. I know I have two children of my own, and we have, I think, every Garfield book in the South Central Library system. So they'll read those again and again and make good use of them. So I would encourage everyone else to do the same.
And I understand that the first Harry Potter book is available right now to everybody. You don't have to put it on hold or anything. Is that right?
Yeah, that's from that Wisconsin Digital Library Consortium. And so they've made the Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, that one's just available, so you can read it or listen to it right now if you want to. Everyone in the state could do it at the same time, which is pretty cool to have that sort of access, that everyone can sort of get in and have some really high-quality content available.
Great. Ben Miller, our guest today, the Department of Public Instruction's Assistant Director of Resources for Libraries and Lifelong Learning. Natalie Guyette, our producer today, Tim Peterson, our on-air producer, Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We're taking a look at library resources available to you during this COVID-19 period with our guest, Ben Miller, Assistant Director of Resources and Libraries and Lifelong Learning with the Department of Public Instruction. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks so much for joining in. Questions, give a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Robin in Portage has something for us, so let's go there. Hi, Robin.
Good morning. My question is, can you download a book from the library on your computer to be able to read?
Yeah, you can. You can do it the same way. You go to the if you go to Wisconsin Public Library Consortium, it's wplc.info. If you go there on your computer, you can find instructions on how to do it on a computer. And you could also, if you have a Kindle, you can transfer it to a Kindle device from your computer. But they have a lot of tutorials and sort of how-tos on how to do it with whatever device you have. But a lot of them you can just read right on your computer screen.
Okay. What was that website again?
It was wplc.info.
wplc.info.
Yep. That's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Great.
All right. Thank you. And Natalie tells me we're going to add that to that link to our website at wpr.org. So we'll have it there for you in case you didn't get it written down. Robin, thank you so much. Let's take a call from Mary in Milwaukee. Mary, hello.
Yes. I just had two comments. Number one, at least in Milwaukee, Ready Reference, as far as last week, they were still open. You call in there if you don't have, like, internet access, and they can give you information, such as, like, phone numbers and so forth. They may still be open. They shorten their hours. Again, this was the last week. There's a number to call. I thought it was 286-8011. I'm not sure. And then number two, I really miss the in-person libraries. For one big thing is they put on their shelves for sale as of a while ago. They were for $1, books that they have taken out of circulation. And it's really nice to browse because you're not tunneled into something. You just pick out different things, put in a book. Also at the Central Library in Milwaukee, they have a whole slew of books in a coffee shop. I mean, tons of books taken out of circulation, and they're really great.
Oh, Mary, thanks so much for calling. Ben, comment.
Yeah, no, that's great, and that's a really good point that a lot of libraries, most libraries are providing virtual services. So the Milwaukee Public Library, that's a good example with the sort of reference questions. There's a lot of, in the Amory Public Library actually has a really cool program called Stump the Chef, where their adult services person was a chef in a former life before she became a librarian. And so she has a Facebook event that she has people give her three items in their pantry, and then she comes back by 3 o'clock that day and recommends recipes that you could try to sort of cook at home with those three ingredients. So she encourages you to try to pick sort of the wildest array of things you have, and then that way you can eat your pantry and maybe save the trip to the grocery store for one more day. So there's a lot.
And that's where again, Ben?
That was the Amory Public Library.
Oh, my goodness.
But, I mean, these kind of the ingenuity of librarians is just cropping up everywhere with all the examples of things that they're doing online to continue supporting their community. You know, the Verona Public Library is doing virtual Dungeons and Dragons for their teens. The list goes on and on. I've been looking at things and trying to sort of stay current with it. One thing that I thought was really cool was the McMillan Memorial Library. Just on Friday hosted a watch party of the play One Man, Two Governors, and that was starring James Corden. And they had sort of an online, so they paid for the rights to broadcast it. They broadcast it to their library card user or library users, and had a Twitter chat so people could talk about it and chat as they watch the play. And the cool thing is they have a theater in their library. It's pretty amazing if you're ever there to visit it. But that's the thing that they do is they provide plays for the community. So they found a way to do that in a virtual environment.
That's great. So cool. And where? Yeah. Which library was that?
That was in McMillan.
Oh my goodness. That is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Jill in Racine has a question. Hi, Jill.
Hi. You named exactly the book I've been wanting to find, a Harry Potter book, but I'm in Racine. The libraries are closed. How do I go about finding it?
So you'll have to get it online as an ebook or an audiobook. But if you go to that link that we had just shared earlier, the wplc.info, they have, I think it's front and center, there's a headline banner talking about being able to read the first Harry Potter book. If you click on that, it should give you some instructions on how to do that.
So wplc.info.
Yep.
Jill, you got that?
Like in cat.
I'm sorry?
WPLC.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's go to Stella in Sturgeon Bay.
Hi. I'm calling in. I wanted to just spread this idea around the state in case there are other people who are interested in participating. We have two little free libraries out in front of our house, and one of them we have kept as a little free library circulating books, and the other one, about a portion of it, is still children's picture books in a basket, and then the rest of it, the rest of the shelf space, we have, during the COVID-19 emergency, we are dedicating it to be a little free food pantry. And we have a notice up there that this is a temporary situation. And if you need something, please take it and enjoy. And if you feel like, if you'd like to contribute something, please leave it and enjoy. And it's been having a lot of activity.
Oh, Stella, that's great. Comment, Ben?
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I know, it's interesting. That's one thing. The little free pantry idea is something that a lot of libraries are trying out in their physical locations. And I don't know how many are moving that direction currently, but I know a lot of libraries that I've been walking into have a little free pantry in the entryway, sort of in a discreet location for people to grab food. So that idea is, I think it's great, and I really like that sort of inclusivity and support of the community, I think is wonderful.
Yeah, thank you, Stella. Thanks so much for calling. You can join in too, 800-642-1234. Give us a call with your own experience or question or comment. Helen in Big Bend, we'll go to you now. Hi, Helen.
Hi. I was wondering what the people do that have to use the public libraries for the computers to apply for jobs, especially with the unemployment rate so high. People have to apply online nowadays. They don't have access otherwise because they can't afford it.
Sure. That's a really good question and something that we're working really hard on right now. So, I mean, one thing I'll say, if the internet is the issue, if you have a device, most libraries are making Wi-Fi available in sort of like a drive-in Wi-Fi hotspot, so that the wireless is always on, and you can just get access. And I'll say I've used that personally. I'm in the midst of moving, which this is a very interesting and weird time to move. And so my local library is the Sauk City Public Library, and while I'm trying to sell my house, my family, when we have showings, crams into our van, and we sit in the library parking lot, and we use their wireless so that we don't have to use our cell data to do that, because that gets expensive really quick. So if the internet is the barrier there, hopefully your local library is leaving their Wi-Fi on, and you can get access there. The question of devices is something we're looking into at DPI, because if that's a barrier, a lot of times just having the computer to do is part of the problem. So we're looking at that, and we're actually right now, DPI is working with the Department of Workforce Development to coordinate the best way to support resource residents that are facing unemployment, because we know people come in the library and ask for help navigating this, like job searching and unemployment claims. Like that's a pretty normal thing that librarians deal with on a day-to-day basis, and it happened a lot when we saw the last financial crisis, and we expect it to happen more now. So we're looking and trying to work with DWD to figure out ways that could happen virtually and over the phone, or you know, some way. So we're looking at that, because I think we see that as a big concern as well.
Yeah, Helen, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Mark from Kimberly wanted to know, first, how much data ebooks take to read on your smartphone? And two, how do you spell the Libby app? We can do that.
Yeah,
and,
we can definitely.
And again, probably need to read it, you know, people just joining us, maybe what's the Libby app? And then how do you spell that?
Yep, so the Libby app is sort of your connection. It's your smartphone app to the Wisconsin Public Library Consortium, which is how you can read ebooks and listen to audiobooks online with your library card. So Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-Y. That's L-I-B-B-Y, sort of like the name, I think.
And then in terms of data?
Yeah, so ebooks are pretty small. I mean, they it's just text, so if you want to read an ebook, that's a pretty small amount of data. Audiobooks are another story. They are, you know, it's audio files, so they take quite a bit of data. So if you're looking to conserve data, reading, just reading is probably the best way to do it. I mean, most books are, I don't even want to guess, but a couple megabytes at the most. But audiobooks are quite a bit bigger. Think of, you know, streaming an album on a music streaming service, something like that. Like that's akin to the data you'd be using for the audiobooks.
There's something called the Big Library Read. It's kind of a digital book club, isn't it? I don't think we've talked about that yet.
No, not yet. Yeah, that's a thing that has happened outside of this event, but is happening again. And it's essentially, the idea is to make communities closer, and in the community I'm talking about generally is the Wisconsin community, is to do sort of like what we talked about with the Harry Potter book, whereas everyone can have simultaneous access to a book. So that's happening again, and so there's the Harry Potter thing, but this is Funny You Don't Look Autistic, A Comedian's Guide to Life on the Spectrum. So it's a book about autism, and everyone can read it, and then the idea is that programs can pop up in communities that relate to that book. So there can be discussions, there can be, you know, maybe a interview with someone, or, you know, those kind of things. That there can be a lot of different threads of the conversation, but everyone's having kind of the same conversation around the state, so you really get that sense of community that we're all talking about the same thing and have sort of a cultural touch point that we share with our fellow Wisconsinites.
Let's go to Shauna in Milwaukee next. Hi, Shauna.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for taking the call. I am volunteering with CALSA Aid International. Normally, we would put flyers in the library to tell people about what we're doing. So instead, since I can't use the library flyer system anymore, I'm asking to call in over here and saying we're trying to help deliver groceries and essentials to senior citizens who are in isolation due to COVID-19. And we're actually delivering to the door, because a lot of places are doing the stock boxes where you can drive up and pick up, et cetera. But some people can't go out of their homes, and they have no transport, or they can't get to the bank and get money even. So we are doing donated food to the door. And can I give the number?
Sure.
It's 414-639-6195. And we serve Milwaukee, Waukesha, Racine, Dodge, Kenosha, Walworth, Jefferson, Washington, Madison, Ozaukee, Appleton, and Brown counties.
Well, thank you very much for calling. It's 414-639-6195.
Yes. And it's CALSA Aid International. This is on behalf of the Sikh community. This is what we do every disaster. We get out and help people with food. That's our thing.
You know, well, thank you so much for calling. And Ben, just to You know, there are always, you know, you go to the library, there's always a lot of things posted at the library. Is there, do some libraries at least have a special section online where people can put their posts and others can see?
They probably, I mean, they might, I would suggest reaching out to the local library because they also, I'm sure they would be willing to, you know, share a Facebook post if your organization has a Facebook post they could share. And, you know, a lot of libraries work as sort of curators of that stuff. When they're not providing that service, they sort of are helping to connect the dots in the communities. And a lot of times that does look like having a bulletin board that people can put things up on. But now we sort of have to rely more on a virtual bulletin board. So I think reaching out to your libraries if you're providing a service like that would be a good way to start that conversation and probably provide partnerships down the road to have a closer partnership between those organizations, because I know libraries are looking for that. And just on a personal note, I want to say thank you, because that's amazing work that you're doing.
Yeah, it really is. Thank you so much for calling and giving us that number as well. Well, the library has other things online for resources and research. Talk about some of those. BadgerLink, I think, and WISCAT, so forth.
Yeah, that's great. So BadgerLink is sort of a collection of databases and resources, high quality, trustworthy content that's available 24/7 to residents of Wisconsin. And so a lot of times that is materials, think of like an encyclopedia. So we have Encyclopedia Britannica, so you can get sort of encyclopedia content. We have journal articles from sort of scholarly journals that are available through EBSCO. And we also have popular magazines. So if you want to read Consumer Reports as a magazine, there's PDF versions of that up there. We have a whole list of kind of curated magazines that are still coming out that you can just get available free from BadgerLink.
And just type in BadgerLink?
Yep, if you just go to BadgerLink, if you just Google BadgerLink, you'll find it. That's okay. The best way to...
and WISCAT?
And so WISCAT is interlibrary loan. So a lot of that with delivery not happening, it focuses a lot on physical books. But if there's some journal article that you need that you can't find on BadgerLink, you can contact your local library and they can put in a request for a copy of that article to be emailed to you. So think you would get a PDF. So that would be for some more in-depth research. But it's definitely available. And I'll say with BadgerLink, you do need to put your library card number in to get access to that. But we've actually made it a little bit easier and added a Wisconsin login to that so that if the barrier to getting access, and especially when BadgerLink can relate back to the school that kids are doing digitally now, that's happening so much more in the homes. And if they need access to research articles and you don't have a library card, we've added just a Wisconsin login where you can put in the zip code of where you live, and it gives you access right away. It's best to use a library card or a school login. We've been working with school districts to get logins set up for each district. So if you don't have something like that and you're just looking to finish your assignment, you can use the BadgerLink login, the Wisconsin-specific one, and just get access right away. And it's a really powerful resource, and we're really happy that we can provide it. That's something we've been doing for quite a long time, but we're seeing the use just go through the roof with, you know, everyone being at home and using, trying to find good quality, trustworthy stuff that's not just a Google search.
Yeah, for sure. What happens to all the libraries right now during this time? Librarians are all working from home, I assume.
As much as they can. I mean, I will say that I feel very lucky and privileged to be in the position that I'm in because I get to know librarians, and they're the most amazing people you'll ever meet. They continue to be busy, and they're continuing to provide services, and that looks different than they used to be. But you know, they are doing all these virtual services and all the virtual sort of offerings. And I think some of the things that really like make me stop and pause and remember how lucky I am to work with librarians every day is in Kenosha and Appleton. Both those libraries, because they're municipal sort of municipal workers, they redeployed a lot of their librarians to help with the elections work, processing mail-in ballots, looking at some, you know, that kind of stuff. And also in Appleton, they're the centralized location for the city's PPE to make sure it's readily available. So their staff is playing a key role in assisting directly with what's going on with COVID-19. And their communications person is also joining the communications team and helping to push information out. So they're using their expertise in a different way. But it's really amazing. And we see maker spaces in libraries that people are making things all the time, and they use 3D printers. Well, a lot of those 3D printers now are printing PPE for either hospitals or first responders, just to try to get that supply out there and get the people who are on the very front lines protected. So, I mean, it's the number of examples of how librarians are going above and beyond is you can't count them. And so they're working as hard as they can every day. But some of the positions are like service positions where they just can't. They're checking books in and out every day, so they're looking at different ways to sort of use their skill set. And some of it is, you know, getting some professional development so they can give you better service the next time you can go into a library. So they're working and hopefully getting paid.
And some librarians were offering delivery, even curbside pickup for patrons. Not sure that's happening anymore, but wow, what a service.
Yeah, I mean, it was all, you know, that week that everything was happening so quickly, there was a lot of that happening, some closures, and we're just going to go curbside. With the Safer at Home order, that has ended. But they continue, librarians continue. Libraries and librarians are just continuing to find new ways to serve their community while, you know, navigating this time personally and professionally.
Oh, man. And I know the libraries often have reading programs for kids, especially in the summer. I bet parents could take that concept and create their own reading program for kids at home right now.
Yeah, it's a lot like, you know, in the summer we talk about the summer slide and combating the summer slide where kids lose some of that knowledge that they had before. But I think you know, parents and caregivers can go forward and just think about, like, kids reading and learning every day. That's the thing. You don't have to be a teacher. There's a reason why teachers go to school and learn a lot to teach our kids, because they do an awesome job at doing that. You don't have to do that overnight just because this pandemic hit our country. Just do your best to help your kids read every day, learn every day, do what you can to help. And I think we'll definitely get through this. And the library has a ton of resources, so I would encourage everyone to just reach out to their local library and see, you know, check out their website, see what they have available. And yeah,
I tell you, librarians are among the nicest people I've ever known.
Oh, for sure.
I, as we were talking, my mind was going back to all of the times I have called librarians or talked with them or asked them for help in one way or another, everything from researching some things I wasn't able to find to having them speak to my own classes I teach at the University of Wisconsin, and they always do such a wonderful job, and they're just nicest people you're going to meet.
Yeah, wholeheartedly agree. I mean, some of my best friends are librarians, and not only because of the line of work that I'm in.
Well, you're in a good line of work, Ben, and I want to thank you very much for taking time to be with us today and talking about all of the resources. Again, where are the couple of places to go online to get the more information?
Yeah, the Wisconsin Public Library Consortium, so WPLC.info, that's your ebooks and audiobooks. That's where you go for those. BadgerLink, you can just put BadgerLink into Google and you'll come out with that, with our website. A lot of those links are also on your local library's website. And your local library's website, that's one of your best resources right now, is to go there and see what they have to offer.
Ben, I hope we have a chance to talk again. Thank you so much.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me on.
Ben Miller is the Department of Public Instruction's Assistant Director of Resources for Libraries and Lifelong Learning. Fun talking with him today. Our libraries have so much for us, and we're going to continue our library and book themed conversation right now, but with a different guest. Kids and parents, we're turning our attention to you. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.